Good morning, everyone. Tuesday, June 2nd, Hillbean Auto Body, as always, brings you the Mary Griffith Show. You know, Hillbean's one of those businesses, I really hope you never have to use them. But if you do have something happen to your car, not that I would know anything about fender bender accidents, but if it happens to you, please take it to Hillbean. They'll take really good care of you. So that's all you need to know about that. We're going to start our June off right with Catherine Meckes from the Community Foundation, serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning, Mary. Thanks so much for having me.
Are you back in the office yet? Or are you still at home with the baby?
She's not even a baby anymore. She's a toddler. And she actually went back to school yesterday, was her first day. And at the Community Foundation, we're open. We're staggering a little bit so that some of us are working remotely sometimes and back in the office, but we have staff in the office full time.
Fantastic. Yeah, you know what? She's not a baby, is she?
No, she's growing up.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing how you and I never get a day older. Well, we've talked enough about COVID-19. We'll close out with a little COVID-19 talk because you're still helping an awful lot of people. But let's talk about those wonderful donors who years ago, having never heard of anything called COVID-19, set up a fund at the Community Foundation and said, you know what? I want to leave my money to this community, and I'm going to let other people decide whatever the hot topic is at the time. That's where they can use the money, whether it's a flood or a tornado or who would have ever thought a viral pandemic. But because people fought in advance and gave to the Community Foundation has been able to help an awful lot of people during this pandemic time.
That's right. So at the Community Foundation, we build funds, primarily endowment funds, based on what our donors wish to make an impact on. And the endowments that we build range all the way from folks who, like you mentioned, realize they can't predict the future. They can't predict what needs and opportunities are going to be. Who could have predicted this COVID-19 pandemic? All the way to donors who want to be more involved and flexible with their grant making, to donors who have a very specific organization that they love and they want to ensure has a steady stream of income for years to come so that that organization is viable for years to come. So really depending on what that donor's passion point is and what they want to achieve with their charitable dollars, we can build a specific fund for them.
That is what it's all about at Community Foundation. You want to make sure the money goes to exactly the purpose that the person giving you the money wants, and that will happen in perpetuity. For example, I think about my time, and I'm a lifetime member of Girl Scouts, and I remember one year, this was many, many years ago, we had a cookie sale where there were, you know, somebody decided to sabotage the cookie sale, and we lost our biggest source of fundraising that year. I can't remember exactly how we got out of that, but something like that, if somebody had set up an endowment fund with the Community Foundation to help the Girl Scouts, that would be a way that money could be funneled in to replace that. We think about, you know, all kinds of things that have happened recently with maybe your favorite charity. I think of the Quincy Community Theater, and I know they have an endowment fund with the Community Foundation. They have basically said our whole season is all but lost. And so they may be needing this foundation money in a way they never have before. Thank goodness people were smart enough decades ago to set up that fund.
That's right. So that was an excellent segue, Mary. It sounds like you're paid to do this or something. You're very good at your job. So yes, exactly. What we've been thinking a lot about the Community Foundation is, you know, we've got these needs now, those COVID-19 needs, and, you know, we're able to tap into some of our unrestricted funds that we talked about a minute ago to provide some immediate relief. But what's also come to light is the importance of that longer-term endowment. So we have a number of nonprofit organizations in our region that either set up an endowment for themselves or a generous donor, a third party, set up an endowment for that organization that they really cared about. And these endowments that are specifically for that organization are really just a simple, they're a safe, secure way for a nonprofit to create a permanent and predictable source of funding year after year. So the Community Foundation is going to handle all of the investment management, all of the administrative details, all of the, you know, less fun things. And the nonprofit organization is going to get an annual distribution that's going to allow the staff and the volunteers to focus on the mission instead of, you know, having to scramble, like so many of us are doing now, mm-hmm. for that operating funding.
Yeah, some places may actually be forced to close their doors. And we've talked a little bit about this morning on the news, Catherine. We heard that the city of Quincy may not fully recover, for 5 years. You know, mm-hmm. now that doesn't mean that things are going to be awful for the next 4 years and 11 months, but that this recovery could be slow. And some of the nonprofits will definitely be more slow to recover because their donor base will have less money to give. And, you know, their fundraisers have been canceled, many of them. And when they return, there may be people who don't have that kind of disposable income. So endowment is always so important. And we've tried to talk about this from the standpoint of a lot of people say, well, why would I leave the Community Foundation any money? I'm going to leave it to my kids. And that's great. But if you just let 5% of what you've accrued in your lifetime, and think about your own community and how much it helped you accrue that. Think about our community now and how much we're sticking together and helping each other out. There's a lot to be said for rewarding your community with even 5% of your net worth going to the Community Foundation upon your death. And the great thing about it is you don't have to make the gift until after you pass.
You don't have to, but you certainly can. We have many, many donors who truly enjoy giving. You know, it's a fun thing to do when you have the means to be able to give back, to be able to watch the impact of your dollars. So, I actually wanted to share a couple of examples of, sure. Of endowments that we have for specific organizations. We have an endowment for Horizons, here in Quincy, Horizons Soup Kitchen and Food Pantry. And we had a generous, donor who cared so much about that organization that they decided to establish an endowment on behalf of Horizons called the Horizon Social Services Fund. And what's wonderful is, you know, obviously Horizons, like so many other nonprofit organizations, are going through a very difficult season. And it's wonderful that people are giving directly to Horizons. We absolutely encourage that. This endowment is complementary to, you know, your giving directly to the organizations. But at the end of the year here in December, when we distribute, these grants from these, designated endowments, Horizons is going to get a check at the end of the year that's going to help their bottom line. And what's really excellent about this example is the donors who established the fund, they didn't just, you know, give the initial gift and, you know, hands off and they're done and, you know, it's good. The real key here is that the donor continues to build it. So they use it as a vehicle for, honor and memorial gifts. If they have a family or a friend that passes away, they will give in that person's honor to the endowment fund for Horizons because they know that that person would have cared and found that to be a special way to honor them. And they also encourage the organization itself to give back. So if the organization finds itself in a place where they have a little extra money, they also contribute back to that fund. So it continues to grow. And that's really the key here, because if you make that initial gift and just kind of leave it, yes, it will grow organically over time because that's what it's designed to do. But the more you build it, the more it's going to grow, just like you're investing, you know, for yourself, for your retirement account.
Right. You don't just put in $1,000 and then wait and 100 years say, oh, I wonder what it's worth. If you keep adding a little bit, it always helps. And I know that many organizations, and I've sat on the board of a few, we've had an endowed fund at the Community Foundation, and we get a notification from Catherine Meckes that says, this year your endowment is ready to disperse X. And we mm-hmm. look at that and we say, you know what? We don't really need X this year. We're doing okay. Let's put X back into the Community Foundation and have it keep growing. And that's one way, almost passively, that you continue to build your foundation. So let's talk about how donors can set up specifically for a nonprofit or for several nonprofits.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just talk us through, because, I mean, there's somebody out there thinking, I love the theater, I love the library, I love my Masonic Lodge, I love my church, I love, you know, little furry animals, whatever. And I'm wondering if I can't leave a portion of my wealth to, you know, help those causes in perpetuity.
Absolutely. So whether it's a specific organization or whether it's a cause or a, you know, a specific community or something broader, the first step is really just to come talk to us, set up an appointment, and we can just talk about what you want to achieve, what you care about. And from there, we can kind of design how that fund is going to look. And like you mentioned, if it's multiple organizations, you don't have to set up multiple funds. Say you have three organizations that you really want to support in perpetuity. We can set up one fund and, you know, we can divide out that grant each year. It can be divided out evenly, or you can divide it out in different increments. Really, this is going to be a personalized process based on that donor's goals, based on what they want to achieve with this fund.
So, for example, I might say I want to support the Girl Scouts, or I might say I want to support the Humane Society, or I might say I want to support youth, I want to support arts, I want to support, animal welfare. And so one is a little bit more broad and allows folks later on, you know, to give to causes under that umbrella, whereas one is more specific. So it really is very donor-driven how you put this. And the other thing is we have to remember that things will change over time.
Yes.
And so, you know, for example, I've used this example before. I've said I want part of my will to go to, Quincy Notre Dame High School or a Catholic education serving youth. You know, in case mm-hmm. Quincy Notre Dame High School no longer exists or is renamed. Girl Scouts. I want it to go to the Girl Scouts or a similar agency serving young girls in our community. So the Community Foundation, 100 years from now, things will be very different. We can't even begin to imagine what our community will look like. But we know it will be vibrant because people have given to the Community Foundation. And they will say, this was so-and-so's wish to have these kinds of causes preserved. We're going to make sure the money is going to that cause.
Yes, our goal here is to make sure that that donor's original intent is going to be met for years and years to come. So like you said, if that organization that they wanted to support does not exist anymore, we will find, you know, what's the closest organization or what other organizations are you know, working towards that goal of the original organization. So while we will protect that legacy and ensure that those dollars are going to be used for the purpose that the donor wished, if that is not possible anymore, we will do as much as we can to make sure that the intent is always, always going to be met.
And that's what happened with some of your COVID-19 response. Every year you have these competitive grants that different agencies can apply for using money that is unrestricted or is restricted, say, a youth agency. And with COVID-19, you were able, years ago people said, I just want what's best for my community, and I don't know what that will be 25 years from now. So let a group of the Community Foundation board decide that. And, you know, you made some decisions this year to help some agencies that maybe in the past, you know, hadn't been helped a lot by the Community Foundation, but now need it.
Yes. So we were able to kickstart our COVID-19 nonprofit response fund with a portion of our unrestricted dollars. And like you mentioned, these unrestricted funds that these dollars came from, they make up a fairly small portion of our overall endowment, but these donors, they're so special because they come to us and they say, I can't predict the future. I don't know what the needs and opportunities are going to be, let alone a year from now. Who knows what 25 years from now, 100 years from now. So just use it for whatever the greatest need is. And so typically, yes, we use all of these dollars for our competitive grants, which were due yesterday. So exciting there as well.
How many did you get, by the way? Well, continue your thought. We'll go on to
okay.
that. Okay.
Okay. So so anyway, we were able to, you know, we looked and we said, okay, the competitive grants are going to be given out in August. The shutdowns and the stay-at-home orders all started at the end of March. And some of these organizations, they can't wait until the middle of August to get these funds. They're helping people today. People need help today. Nonprofits need help today. So we took a portion of those dollars and created this response fund. And we've actually been able to leverage that dollar and dollar amount that we invested in, quadruple it with support from other organizations and individual donors across the region, which is wonderful. But since these donors left us those flexible funds, we were able to make that impact that was needed right now.
And that is so great. Now, yesterday was the deadline for groups to apply. Did you find the number of applications was up this year, or was it about the same?
It's been about the same, but one trend I've noticed just this morning when I was kind of scrolling through the applications while the number is about kind of held steady, what we've noticed is we're seeing a lot more applications for general operating support, which mm-hmm. is something we expected. Oftentimes we'll see lots of applications for specific projects and programs. And because there's so much uncertainty and so many of these projects and programs were maybe canceled in the spring already and we don't know when we're going to be able to have them, a lot of these organizations just really, really need that general operating support to keep their doors open so that they can do those projects and programs in the future when they're able to.
That is why the Community Foundation is so critical. We're going to take a quick break. Can you hang in with me, Catherine Meckes?
I sure can. Happy
okay. to. You will put Catherine on hold. We'll take a break. 2 minutes from now, we'll be back. And remember, folks, sometimes we forget. This is a little bit hard concept about a foundation, an endowment, the thing, the gift that keeps on giving in perpetuity. But when you start thinking about how your legacy is going to be remembered, this is a great way for you to permanently impact your county, your community, and say it's going to stay in Shelbina, it's going to stay in Quincy, or it's going to be only used for youngsters. You can control what happens to your legacy. We're back talking with Catherine Meckes from the Community Foundation, serving West Central Illinois and Northeast Missouri. Dozens, probably hundreds of applications came in the June 1st deadline. Catherine, the Community Foundation, in and of itself, how does COVID-19 affect the Community Foundation? Because will this put a damper on donations, or will this maybe encourage more people to plan their wills and their legacies? It could go either way, couldn't it?
It could, and time will tell. Time will tell, but right now we're hanging in there. We're hanging steady here. And, you know, we've certainly seen donations increase for, you know, a specific situation like this COVID-19, crisis that we're going through. So we've seen, some very generous donors step up and, you know, say, you know, I know our community needs help, but I'm not exactly sure where it's going to be best used. So, the Community Foundation as a way to kind of streamline that giving. So you can give one gift to the Community Foundation. We will put it into our COVID-19 response fund or unrestricted endowment, and that allows us to continue to evaluate the needs and opportunities as they emerge and put their dollars, combine it with other dollars, and use it for the best use.
This is very much in parallel with what the United Way of Adams County is doing as well. And see, this is why there has to be some kind of infrastructure, a group of paid employees and volunteers. In the cases of those agencies, it's mostly volunteers with a few paid employees like yourself and the United Way director who say, we're going to be the holders. We're going to be the people that help decide what our community needs are, because we are so in touch with our boards on a day-to-day basis about what is already needed, that you have your finger on the pulse of who's going to need help first. And we don't want to confuse the United Way and the Community Foundation. One, Ray Brummel explained it to me one time. She said, the United Way is the checkbook in and out, where the Community Foundation is the savings plan for long term. But the truth is there are needs now, and both of those agencies are dealing with them in a slightly different way. But it's because you know the pulse of our community and what is needed in our community that you can help divert this money directly to these causes. The other thing, and Adam Dusterhaus said this when he was on my show last with the United Way, a lot of people say, well, you know, we're starting to reopen, so things are over. But some people have used up all their savings now. They've used their stimulus check. They haven't asked for any help. Now the well is starting to run dry. So just because things are starting to return to normal doesn't mean that our economic need is going to go away.
No, and you hit the nail on the head there. We're still seeing these needs come in. With the fund that we have, we really started with making sure we were using those for those really basic human needs, those organizations who were providing food, who were providing shelter, supplies, those types of things. And as we've continued to evolve and this crisis continues a longer time frame, we're able to kind of move down our priority list and divert some of our dollars to organizations that maybe aren't providing basic human needs, but are providing other services that are needed in the community, especially for vulnerable populations, children. So, for example, the Art Center, while they're not providing a basic human service, they are adapting what they're doing. We mentioned earlier they're adapting their operations, since people can't necessarily come in and do the classes like they used to provide online classes and take-home kits and different things that are going to enrich kids' lives, because kids have been home for, you know, 2.5 plus months, and kids need stimulation. Kids need activity to keep them learning and growing. So, like I said, we're able to kind of look at those needs as they emerge and continue to respond to those.
Yeah, you know, since March 13th was when Quincy Public Schools, that was their last day, and you know, some place like the Y you mentioned, you know, the Y is still their primary purpose right now is still essential care worker child care.
Yes.
Now they're reopening, and several agencies are starting to get back to some semblance of normal, and others like Quincy Community Theater will be doing many things online for a long time to come. So it's every group has to do what is best for their mission. Every group is still trying to fulfill their mission, and that's what Community Foundation does. It supports mission, whatever that mission is.
Mm-hmm.
That
exactly.
Sounds great. Before I let you go, because I know you're busy and probably really busy since today's the day after the deadline, so I'm sitting at home, I'm listening to this, I've listened to Mary Griffith and Catherine Meckes talk about this for months, and I think, you know, today's the day. I've got the time. I really want to do it. I want to sit down and jot down some charities. They just call you, and that's how the ball starts rolling. It's not something that's done like usually in 30 minutes. It takes some time to get this all together. But again, the process can start with a gift today and the promise of a gift tomorrow, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And even if you don't have necessarily the means to start a named fund today, we have 200 different funds, so you can give to any one of those funds at any time. You can plan a gift there. Just, you don't even have to give cash. There are other ways to give. So definitely calling us and just talking about what you want to do, and we can talk about ways to do that.
Okay.
You can call us at 217-222-1237.
Give that number one more time for our radio audience.
Absolutely. 217-222-1237.
Okay, folks. Try to understand. Go online. Go to their website. See what the Community Foundation does. They are a safety net that has been holding up a lot of great social service agencies that have come to a standstill when it comes to fundraising. You mentioned Horizons earlier on. You know, they haven't been able to have two major fundraisers now they've missed. So but yet their doors are still open and they're still functioning. So this is a way to make sure that we always have the help we need in the future. That's what the Community Foundation is all about. Catherine, have a great month. Do you think next in July I'll see you in person? I hope so.
I hope so too, Mary, but time will tell.
Okay. Kiss that toddler for me.
Will do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mary.